the opinions and ideas of the guests of Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie are not necessarily that of the host or Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie on the Web Radio Network. And now, Sarah and Debbie.
Hi, everybody. This is Debbie from Shadow Chasers, Hallowed Ground, and Spooky Things.
And, of course, as always, this is Sister Sidekick, Sarah.
Absolutely. So we've been talking about the weeks that we've been having.
Yeah. Oh.
Let me tell you. It has been a week of, you know, temptation. And I'm not saying that in a good way.
Right, right. Anything that could possibly happen has happened. And yeah, I'm ready for this week to be over with.
Oh, Lord, yes. What is it? This is only Tuesday. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. I know. And this horrible heat. Oh, my Lanta, this heat needs to just stop.
I know. It's very oppressive.
Oppressive, depressive, impressive, all the above.
It's impressive.
We big girls don't sweat well. We just don't. I step my big toe outside and my big toe goes to sweating and I poke my foot back in the house and slam the door. I ain't going out.
Yeah, I don't do heat good. Now, my favorite time of the year is fall, then winter.
Yes. Yes. Me too. Fall and winter, girl. You know that.
Yep. I'm telling you, we are parallel.
Yeah, we are. We lead parallel lives. We're family by blood down the line, and then we call each other sister because we're so close because we are just absolutely 2,000% alike.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've been in each other's lives more than we've not been in each other's lives.
Right, so, right.
Oh, my gosh. So... Yeah. But I tell you what, we picked a great subject tonight. Well, we didn't. You did. You picked a great subject tonight.
Well, I don't know why, but this particular place that we're going to be talking about tonight has been on my mind. It's weird when something gets on my mind and stays there and keeps nagging at me and stuff like that. Then I say, okay, well, let's talk about it. You know, so tell them what we're talking about tonight, Deb.
We are talking about Bobby Mackey's. It's
yep.
The restaurant, and it is proclaimed to be one of the most haunted places in America, is what
yes.
They say. Now, I have never been there.
I have not either, but it is on my bucket list. Now, I do know some other paranormal investigators with their teams that have been there. And right. They say it's off the chain. And I also have seen some of the paranormal teams on TV that have been there. So, yeah, it's got a lot of amazing stuff going on still in the place today. Bobby Mackey's World of, what is it called? Bobby Mackey's Music World.
Music.
It is up. Yeah, it is up and active today. It is a nightclub and a bar and all of the above. And some of the patrons of the bar and the employees that work there, they are still having paranormal activity there today.
And it's interesting. I saw the hours on them. They're only open on Fridays and Saturdays.
Yep.
They're closed every other day.
Yep.
So
Well,
I mean,
every day other than Friday and Saturday. Yeah.
Friday and Saturday. And so if anybody's thinking about going up there, keep that in mind that those are the only 2 days that they are open. And but they certainly do hold a crowd on those 2 days.
Yeah, well, that's the days for the customers to come in, and do their partying and drinking and stuff like that, and listen to some good music and whatnot that they have there. But I imagine there's probably someone you can contact that would let you, as far as a paranormal team, get in there, because I know that they are allowing teams to. They're, of course, they're discreet and they're selective about who they let in there, but I imagine it wouldn't be awfully hard for a paranormal team to get in there.
Right. And that's what they have those other days that, they'll let you in there with.
Yep, definitely.
So, that's definitely something that we've got on our bucket list to get up there and go take a look at Bobby Mackey's.
Yes. Well,
Now,
before we get into Bobby Mackey's tonight, you want to let's do our weekly announcement, because we need to plug
oh,
what's going to be taking place next month. And you guys know what it is. It is the Deep South Paracommy Con in Ozark, Alabama. And I just spoke to the producer of Spooky Things and our supporter that helps us do our shows. That is Stan and Teresa Fikes. Just a few minutes ago, and I heard Teresa in the background, and she was taking care of some more vendors and stuff that are signing up. And I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to break the silence on it, but I heard something this afternoon with Stan just a few minutes ago that is possibly going to make its way to the Paracommy Con. It is another haunted object in old Mylanta, you guys. A
write
home Mylanta.
it down, show it to me.
I'll tell you about it after the show, but I'm not going to run it for
I'll keep it
everybody else.
to myself.
What? You can't keep a secret.
Can too.
No, you cannot, because you started to blurt out what we were doing last week on the show.
What I taught myself. Write it down on a piece of paper. I want to see it.
No. I'll tell you after the show, but I'm not going to ruin the surprise for everybody that's possibly coming. But I'm telling you guys, you with this one object alone, I mean, there's going to be probably 50 to 75, maybe even 100 pieces of haunted objects there. And this is one that possibly will make its way to that number of haunted objects, and you will not be disappointed, let me tell you. I was kind of I was excited whenever I heard what it was, and then I was like, ooh, I was like, oh Lord, do we really want to go near that? But hey, it's going to be an exciting time, and it is August the 19th and the 20th in Ozark, Alabama. And guys, the list is growing daily. We are still working on stuff. People are being added, and guest speakers and vendors and food trucks and just all kinds of different things are being added on a daily basis. So you're not going to want to miss this.
Write it down on a piece of paper and show it to
I knew it was going to eat you up.
is. It's killing
Oh,
me.
I know it is, but I don't think you'll be able to see it, because I've got a red pen. A red pen here with me. Hold on, guys. I've got to satisfy sister's curiosity.
Because
See if I can.
I won't shut up until you do.
Oh,
Look at her all
Lord.
over the place.
Let me see what I can do. Hold on here. Let's see. I have to write it kind of big because it's in red pen.
I can see up your nose.
Well, stop looking up my nose. Oh, my Lanta. Do I have any boogers?
No, you're clear.
Guys, if you don't know us by now, we are nuts, and there's no telling what you'll hear on our show.
You just don't know.
Nope, never. We like to surprise and shock people. Hold on, I'm still writing.
Wow. My gosh.
Shut up. Oh, you got me off now. I can't even spell.
Give me a name.
No, because if I do, it'll give it away.
Well, that would give it away.
All right. See if you can see this. See if you can see this. Oh, it's going to be backwards.
That's okay.
See if you can figure it out. Don't say it out loud.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I told you. It's going to be awesome, but scary.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Yep. So, you guys, like I said, me and Debbie's been preaching. We had a whole show last Tuesday night with Stan and Teresa Fikes, who are in charge of the Deep South Para Comic Con, along with their paranormal group that's going to be helping out, and several of us vendors that are going to be helping out with them. You're not going to want to miss this.
If you do,
shame on you. And didn't plan to be there next year because it's only going to get bigger and better every single year because, like Stan said a few minutes ago, it's taking on an entity and a life of its own already. So you guys be prepared that are coming out. You're going to be just wowed at everything that you see and experience.
And the wonderful thing about this is almost like when you go the 1 year and then you go back the year after that and the year after that, it's like a continuation of 1 year to the next. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and, it is.
And you can relate back to, oh, but last year it was this, this, and this. And, oh, yeah, okay, well, remember last year. It all just kind of ties in together year after year after year. And it's like a never-ending story. It just, you know, just kind of flows after that. But yeah, this is amazing. This
is gonna be cool. I can't wait. August can't get here fast enough. I mean, it's fast approaching, but Lord, I want the 19th to hurry up and get here so I can get on the road and meet up with you, and me and you go together and get to Ozark and get everything going.
It's just gonna be a blast.
Oh boy, let me tell you. I'm taking plenty of Tylenol. Extra strength. all my medicines, my insulin, and all that other stuff, because I know I'm going to be dragging. You and I've got a lot to do when we get there, girlfriend.
We do, but we got great chairs.
Yes, we do.
Yes,
we got great chairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next year, I'm going to get the rocking kind, though.
Oh yeah. Well, girl, if we get the rocking kind, shoot, we may go to sleep.
I'm worried about that. That's all right. We'll be telling us if we're asleep, just ring the bell.
Right. If you want anything, you see anything on the table that you want to buy, just ring the bell. No, I'm busy, girl. I'm even though working through the pain today because I had a big fibromyalgia flare up, but I'm working on crafts and things now after the fact and getting everything together. And that's some of the pictures that I sent you, and see what you think about those. And our shirts came in today. Yay. Oh,
cool.
So I'm going to get them monogrammed and everything. And girl, we're going to be uptown. And so will all the other vendors that are there, like, Lee Triana Terry Brown is going to be there. The Foxes, Blaine Rohan, Jeremy Leonard, some of your favorite TV personalities that you've been watching on TV, they will be there. So, and lots more, several, too many to count, paranormal teams that will be there representing their group and everything, and vendors with all kinds of different wares to sell and different things that you might be interested in. And I'm telling you, it's just going to be an amazing time.
It certainly is. And if anybody is interested in sponsoring the Para Comic Con, definitely going ahead and get in touch with Stan Fikes or Teresa Fikes
Yes,
to get
yes.
into the Para Comic Con website, Deep
Yes.
South Comic Con. And that would really be a wonderful, wonderful thing as well.
Yes, and it's a benefit con, a benefit event for the Ronald McDonald House and the Boys and Girls Club.
Yes.
For those of you that have not listened to our podcast before, that might be listening for the first time, it is. I can't even find the words to express how special of an event this is to benefit the kids in the community and the Ronald McDonald House, especially with families that have children that are ill and have no place to stay and no money to be there with their child or their children that might be sick. And then, of course, the Boys and Girls Club, you know, they're a special group of kids, and we need to back them and sponsor them and help them into the future, because the children are our future, you guys. And if we let our children down, then there goes our future.
Absolutely. So it's a good deal all around.
Yes, it is, definitely.
And girl, you've been seeing some of the pictures of those food vendors?
I have.
Ooh,
Lord
love.
have mercy, girl. Oh. I cannot wait to try just about every single thing that's there. I'm going to be gained about 40 pounds by the time that we get back home.
I'm telling you, lucky if we
Like
fit in one.
I really need to gain it, you know?
Well, I have a feeling that we're all in for a really, really good time, and by George, we need that.
Yep,
And
I know we are.
yeah, so we're definitely looking forward to August and get some fun coming in. And these are going to be memories that are going to be with you for the rest of your life. I mean, there's some
Yes,
wonderful things that are going on there.
definitely. I know I'm going to be snapping some pictures with my cell phone and everything, and then when I get back home, I'm going to have them printed off and put in an album so I can have them to remember everything by, because it's just going to be that special of an event, you guys. I can't express that enough. I know you're probably going to get tired of hearing me say that, but it is going to be amazing, and I am looking forward to it.
It truly is. So, talking about amazing, Bobby Mackey's.
Bobby Mackey's. Are you ready to get into it? You want to start? Did you get a chance to look at everything and research it? Do you want to go ahead and start, or you want me to start?
You go on ahead and start. I mean, I got a pretty good idea of what's going on here. You know, Bobby Mackey's is so iconic. I mean, it's like anybody in the paranormal field who has done any amount of research, you're going to know what Bobby Mackey's is.
Yes, definitely. Well, Bobby Mackey's is called Bobby Mackey's Music World, okay? And it's a former, guess what? Slaughterhouse that
Yes,
was
it is.
made, yep, that was made famous for its gateway to hell. And it's in Wilder, Kentucky. And it's a club and still active today, which I spoke to you guys about just a few minutes ago. On this site in 1850, a large slaughterhouse and meat packing facility was constructed to serve northwestern Kentucky and nearby Cincinnati, Ohio. Okay, in the lowest part of the building, which would be the basement, a well was dug, and it was used to hold the blood, guts, and waste from the slaughtered animals. How
Oh, what
special.
fun.
I
What
know,
fun.
how special. I mean, that's just like, you know, Now, there's different opinions on this, and this is strictly my opinion on this. It does not necessarily mean it's yours or anybody else that might be listening, but just in my religion and my belief, I believe that every breathing thing has a soul. And
Absolutely.
that means our animals, our pets, our beloved fur babies. I believe that they have a soul. And can you imagine all those poor, defenseless animals that were slaughtered there, and then their guts and blood and some of the remains and stuff was put in a well there in the basement and held there?
Yeah, it's even
Can you
hideous.
imagine that? I mean, I know me being a sensitive, if I walked into that basement, I would automatically start crying because I would feel all the tortured souls of the poor animals, you know, that were slaughtered there. And I couldn't handle it.
No.
I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I would not be able to handle it. So you can
Yeah.
imagine what's been going on. Oh, there's more things that were completely horrifying that had happened there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So let's see. It is speculated that after the slaughterhouse closed in the early eight, well, the late 1890s, that a said, here we go again, satanic cult activity took place in the building around the well. So here we go. We're mixing the death and the remains of animals along with a satanic cult that went there and held rituals and stuff like that in the basement around and surrounding the well. How
Exactly.
special is that? Yeah.
You're not special. Yeah.
Yeah, real special. Says, excuse me, my throat's messing with me today. Says animals and possibly humans were being slaughtered there for ritualistic purposes during secret meetings. Okay, here we go. We've got the animals now. We've got the satanic rituals, and then now possibly humans were also slaughtered there. So what a
Right.
mixture and a recipe for paranormal disaster.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
Yeah.
this is a fun place.
Yeah, definitely. In 1896, now here's where it starts getting a little bit more macabre as far as human beings go and into the dark side. In 1896, the murder of a 22-year-old small town girl by the name of Pearl Bryan
Right.
from Greencastle, Indiana, made news on the headlines. Pearl's headless corpse was discovered in a field less than 2 miles from the slaughterhouse. Okay. So you got all that stuff going on in the slaughterhouse, and then less than 2 miles from the slaughterhouse, here's a 22-year-old young female that was found. Her body was found headless in a field. Less than 2 miles from the slaughterhouse. And here's
Yep.
what happened. Huh? I'm sorry.
This is a town you want to move to.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I want to be there. Not. But here's what happened to Pearl. Pearl became pregnant, and her boyfriend, Scott Jackson, hold on, I can't even read my own writing, urged her to come to Cincinnati where he could arrange an abortion. Now, Scott Jackson was a medical student in the University of Ohio there. And oddly enough, he was studying to be a dentist. But I guess you have to have a medical background as far as other things go before you could become a dentist, because this young man, what he did afterwards, it just blew my mind. Let me continue with it here. Okay, so he begged her to come to Cincinnati so he can arrange an abortion, okay? Well, Pearl decided to go. And Scott's roommate, which his name was Alonzo Walling, both he and Scott attempted to do the abortion on their own. Now, what their thinking was, I have no clue. Was he so embarrassed by the unplanned pregnancy that he wanted to keep it a secret, or was he trying to save money back then? Why in the hell did this man coax his girlfriend to come there to Cincinnati, Ohio, so he could arrange, that's exactly what his words were, to arrange an abortion. But when she got there, him and his dodo head roommate, Alonzo, decided to perform the abortion themselves.
Well, they are just brilliant.
Aren't they, though?
Yeah, they are.
Well, I don't know what happened, but they tried to perform the abortion on her. I don't know if she did it willingly, unwillingly, or what. That I never could find anything on that. But the abortion went wrong, went badly wrong, and of course she did not make it.
It went wrong when they decided that they were going to try it. That's where it went wrong.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree with you 100%. But okay, she didn't make it, and these two brilliant idiots decided that they were going to take her body and put it in the field less than 2 miles away from the slaughterhouse, and in their brilliant deduction, decided that they were, Scott did, Scott Jackson, her boyfriend, decided that he was going to decapitate her.
Of course he
And
did.
and that way she would not be identified. Her body would not be identified. But they made one fatal mistake, and how they did that, I don't know, and how you could deliberate that the body was of Pearl just by her shoes. They left her shoes on her naked body. And somehow they proved that it was Pearl by her shoes. Now, to this day, her head has never been found.
Never been found. Correct.
Never been found. And they do not know if, because of Scott Jackson's connections with a satanic cult, if the head was used in rituals there, in the slaughterhouse in the basement, or what. But sadly, her head has never been
Well,
recovered.
if I am not mistaken, rumor has it that the head was actually thrown down the well, and that there the possibility of it, apparently the well emptied out to a river.
Oh, okay. Into a river.
If
I
I'm
didn't.
not mistaken, or
Yeah, I
into some estuary or something like that, and they're thinking that that could have been what happened to it, but that it was thrown down the well in any regard.
Huh. Okay. I never did catch that on any of the things that I pulled up on it, but that's interesting. I mean, that's one scenario that could have happened to it. Or, it could have been like the research that I come upon where maybe it was used in satanic rituals. Who knows? I mean, that was back in what, the 1890s, so
But you know what's interesting is that stupid is stupid. It doesn't really matter what time, of what year it is. Stupid today equivalates up to stupid from 1890. So we're not talking about a couple of brilliant scientists here. So it's like, oh, we've cut off her head. We'll just throw it in the well.
Well, I feel like this, if when you play, you're gonna pay. And if he didn't want an unwanted pregnancy with Pearl, then he should have taken means to, not go there, and then because in the meantime, they didn't only kill Pearl, they killed the baby too. So that's two lives that were completely destroyed and done away with because of stupidity. You
Oh,
know? I mean,
absolutely.
I do know that accidents happen. You know, accidents do happen, y'all. I'm not going to say that they don't, because they do. But if you're, help me out here, sis. It's right here on the tip of my tongue. If you're
Here
caught in a
thinking.
heat of, if you're caught in the heat of the moment and you just think that you've got to do something, just stop. Just
Just
stop and
stop.
say, oh no, we don't need to do this. We need to wait, you know, and prepare. If we want to do this, you know, we need to take precautions. Don't just go out into the wind and put caution into the wind and have a unwanted pregnancy and all that. That just, it hurts my heart because, you know, in this day and time, hell, you can save a whale faster than you can a baby, you
Oh,
know,
without.
a human baby.
Mean, in this scenario, you sis, in this scenario,
Yeah, this scenario.
didn't that happen here. Okay, that head just didn't pop off and roll down that well by itself.
Thank you much. Yep,
You
yep.
know, like I don't think that Pearl was thinking, oh, I accidentally.
Yeah. Well, you know, she was 22 years of age, and she could have had a long, happy life if things would have been handled a little bit differently. But
Lo, but the
while
truth
these,
is, her head
I'm
was
sorry,
loose.
go,
No, I
what?
was just saying that it still comes down to the fact that the head was literally never found.
Yes. Yep. True. Well, while these two geniuses were on the gallows, okay, the roommate, Alonzo Walling, vowed to haunt the area forever. He was put to death on the gallows along with Scott because he was an accomplice. Okay, so why was he so torqued off for, you know, at being put to death? Because he was an accomplice in a killing of two innocent souls, you know, to where he was going to haunt the area forever. You know, I don't know. I don't get the process there. Is it just me, or do I go out on a limb and
Yeah,
think?
I mean, first of all, for him to even do something as completely horrendous as what he did, it tells me right there that he wasn't exactly the brightest light in the box to begin with. So for not
Yeah.
the fact God only knows what they did with the head, and then for him to get mad about it is like, all right, yeah, that fits.
Oh God, if we ever go there, I bet he will haunt the hell out of us for because we're so down on, you know, what he did, you know, and then for him to have the gall to say, okay, well, I'm gonna haunt this area forever, you know. Whatever, dude, you know.
The nerve.
Yeah, the nerve of him. I mean, come on now. Well, it says,
Alone.
okay, let me catch up with what I've got here. Yeah, okay, so I did speak about where Scott was attached to the satanic cult, you know. Okay, so
Okay,
well,
now
years,
was
I'm
in
sorry.
Was Scott actually a member of this particular cult?
I never could find that where he was a member, but he had really strong ties to this satanic cult. So
Gotcha.
possibly, maybe, you know, we don't know. We don't know. Nothing has ever been said. And if somebody out there listening to us knows anything different, please send us a text, you know, and let us know if he was actually a member of any of the cults, you know, there. But I never did find that, so I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
Okay, so it was sometime years later, that the slaughterhouse was demolished. And let's see, it was probably in the early part of the 20th century. And the lot sat empty until about the 1920s, when a new building was built that served as a casino, nightclub, and a speakeasy during the Prohibition. Okay. Well, when the Prohibition ended in 1933, a man by the name of E.A., and here's his nickname, Buck Brady, bought the building and named it the Primrose. Well, that was a pretty name, Primrose. That you know, that's a gorgeous name, but it still held the lot itself, and the property still held a dark, you know, history, a dark past.
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, but the well was still on the property at the time.
Yes, even though the building was demolished, the well was still prominent. It was there, probably covered over, I would imagine, to keep people from wandering onto the property and kids wandering onto the property and, you know, falling in and whatnot. But it never did really say if it was covered over or whatnot, but that was just my inclination. That was my gut feeling that I had whenever I was, you know, researching that. Well, after about a decade, the business, the Primrose, was really successful. Well, Prohibition time had already ended, but there were still, you know, mobsters and stuff like that in the area that had gotten wind of the success of the Primrose. Well, they wanted to come in and they wanted to buy out Mr. Brady, and he would not sell out to them. So when he wouldn't do that, they just started coming harassing people in the parking lots as they were trying to go in and out of the establishment. They would start fights and stuff like that. I mean, just a really, really deep, dark time as far as everything that was going on. Well, Mr. Brady got sick and tired of it, you know, because it was ruining his business and it was, you know, just a pain in the butt to deal with. And so one night in the parking lot, Mr. Brady decided to draw a gun on Albert Red Masterson, which he was a, you know, he was a mobster and pretty well known in that area. So, and I don't believe that he actually shot the man. I mean, I don't know. It didn't tell me in the research as I was looking at it. But Mr. Brady was charged with attempted murder on Albert Masterson's, and he left the casino business in 1946. So, yeah. Yeah, so I guess he just got tired of it after he was charged with attempted murder and probably served time on it and blah, blah, blah. And when he got out, you know, then he just decided to quit the business altogether.
Yeah, that would be on it, yeah.
Yeah, well, back in the 1950s, after the building sat there from 1946 until the 50s, the building reopened as a nightclub, and it was called the Latin Quarter, okay? Now, here we go with the Latino factor in that area. And there was a beautiful young girl by the name of Johanna. And she was a dance hall girl and also the daughter of the nightclub owner. And she fell in love with a singer named Robert Randall, who performed there nightly. Well, she got, guess what? Here we go. Just like sweet, innocent Pearl. She got pregnant by the singer, and she had intended to actually run off with the young singer. Well, her father got wind of it, and he was not going to have anything to do. He was not going to let the romance continue, and he forbid her to run off with Robert. So her father, in order to keep them apart, decided that he, with his criminal connections, was going to have Randall Robert murdered.
Curses.
Yes. Talk about cursed property. I mean, Lord have mercy, Jesus. So, that actually happened. Randall was murdered. And when Johanna found out about it, she poisoned her father. And here we go again, another string of murders. But after she poisoned her father for killing her lover
Of
and
course.
the father of her baby, she went down into the basement near the well and
There you
committed suicide.
go. And there we have it.
And there we have it. And oddly enough, guess what?
What?
Bobby Mackey's full name is Robert Randall Mackey. You get that connection?
Yeah.
Robert Randall, the lover of Johanna, okay? Now, Bobby Mackey owns it, and his full name is Robert Randall Mackey. How insane is that?
Exactly.
I mean, it's like almost history repeating itself again by, Mr. Mackey, excuse me, buying the establishment and turning it into the club that it is today. And his name is Robert Randall Mackey.
It is. It's
So,
amazing.
yeah,
Amazing.
that's pretty amazing, but yet creepy too. Okay. Well, later, let's see, in 1978, after a series of fatal shootings at the nightclub while it was the Latin, whatever I said it was, Latin.
Order.
Yeah. Okay. Latin Quarter. Yes. After a bunch of shootings and killings and stabbings and stuff, well, Mr. Mackey, he was a young country singer at the time. He purchased the building and turned it into the music hall and tavern that still stands on that property today. Paranormal phenomenon has been present since day one that Mr. Mackey has owned the property.
Well, sure.
Yep. So, and here's just one. A former caretaker that lived upstairs in the above apartment above the club claims to have been demonically possessed by the spirits, and his exorcism was actually performed in the club by a minister. Can you fathom that?
This is just a series of unfortunate events.
I know it, right? I know. It's just all the way around just crazy. Now Bobby Mackey's wife, she was helping Bobby take care of the place, of course, doing her duties as a good wife and everything and getting their family business up and running and stuff. And she was overcome by the scent of roses. Now, Johanna was known when she was alive and she was a dance hall girl in the Latin Quarter there that was owned by her father. She was very well known for wearing the scent of roses. So now Bobby's wife was overcome with the scent of roses. Guess where? While she was in the basement. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, here we go. And she was grabbed around the waist, picked up and thrown down and pushed down the stairs by a ghost or apparition that resembled Alonzo Walling. All the time that this was happening, the ghost of Alonzo was screaming, "Get out." And she will not step foot back into the establishment even today.
Hell, I don't blame her.
I know, right? Now
Don't blame her.
here's some of the, excuse me, here's some of the spots in the club that are known to be highly active. Okay. You've got the spotlight room and the catwalk over the stage. You've got, of course, the well in the basement, the old China room, which is where I assume that they kept all the china and the glasses and stuff that they used in the establishment, the platform area near the kitchen, and the big, there's a big pitted mirror in the main room that remains active. They swear patrons today and customers and employees alike say that they still see apparitions in this big pitted mirror.
Because they're looking for a head.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And there's more things that are taking place and happening, you know. People are being pushed and shoved and noises and apparitions and the typical haunting, you know. And it's just super, super active. And that's why a lot of paranormal teams, especially like the ones on TV and stuff like that, that they have gone and done shows there because of the dark past of Bobby Mackey's music world and everything that that implies.
You know, in all honesty and in all seriousness, this place has got such a diversity of things that are going on in there.
Yeah.
And I truly don't believe it's just one thing. That's a collective. That's what we call it. That's going on there.
And a collective of spirits.
Yes. And once you get a collective going, it is extremely difficult, if not impossible, to ever get that cleared out.
Yes. It would be really extremely hard. It's hard enough with just one spirit that might be, you know, haunting a building or a home or a business. But you get a collective of spirits when they all get together. I mean, Lord have mercy, the energy that they connect with each other with, it's astounding. And it is extremely hard to get rid of a group of spirits, you know, in that manner. I mean, been there, done that. You know, me and you have faced a lot of things together, and some of the other team members that I've been with in the past, all of us have had our experiences together, and some of them have been easy peasy, and then the other ones have been like, shoot, scraping your nails down a chalkboard and trying to pull your feet out of cement, trying to get these cotton picking spirits to cross over and leave the establishment to itself. You know, it's,
it can be real tough.
And
the things that we've had to do have dealt with collectives.
Yes.
And it's just like you're just getting the four, you know, an all out attack on all sides in all different ways. And it's like if you concentrate on one, something else is, or two or three are sneaking up from the other side. Yeah. And it's never ending. You think you've cleared and three more come. And this is not something that is, it's so intense and it was so horrendous. There is so much emotion.
Yes.
That's involved in it, yep. Including a small, a baby. Oh, it, you know, not just one.
Two.
It's two. And
two unborn children. Yes.
Children. So, you know, good luck on getting rid of that. That is just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
In a place like that, the one thing that comes really to my mind is anybody who goes in there needs to proceed with caution.
Yeah.
And a big also draw to it is music.
Yes. Yeah.
Drawn towards music. And every time music is playing, it is just stoking it every time.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of things that are going on modern times involved with the things that have been hit there historically. And it's just a diversity that I just don't think that can be resolved. Some things are just not solvable. That I believe is one. And I think any attempt to make it, resolved is just going to further compound the problem. And this is just a whirlwind of really poor judgment, huge emotions, tragedy,
yes,
sadness, oppression, everything together, and you come up with Bobby Mackey's.
Yep.
And that's just the truth. That's the sad truth of it.
Well, the slaughterhouse started it off by making that well and dumping all of the animals' remains and stuff, the blood and the guts and bones and everything down that well. That was the beginning of it. And that's why it was called the gateway to hell, because, I mean, come on now, you do something like that, and like I said, and I'll repeat it again, it's entirely my beliefs, but I do believe that animals have souls. They have spirits just like we do. God created them just like he did us, and I believe that their poor souls could have been trapped there in the whale, and then you add all of the satanic stuff and the demonic stuff that happened there, and man, it is a gateway to hell. It's just there, and it's going to do what it does until somebody or someone that is strong enough with the power of God within them that can go there and stop the activity.
Right.
Gotta
Good
be,
luck.
yeah.
I just, I personally think it's possible. I don't think it's possible. And,
it may not be. It may be one of those things that is just a paranormal phenomenon that will never be taken care of or understood better or, ended or whatever. I mean, it's just going to be an anomaly.
Even if you were to remove the building itself, burn it, take it down, whatever, that's still not going to do anything. It's in the itself.
It's in the ground, yes, because the slaughterhouse was demolished, remember, and then
that's
another
right.
building excuse me another building built. Let me grab something to drink here real quick.
I wish
And,
I could.
Yeah, so it was demolished and another building built there, but yet the activity kept coming, and the dark things as far as the deaths and the suicides and the fightings and the shootings and all that stuff, it just kept coming.
Right.
And it was just like Alonzo had said that he was going to haunt that area forever. Excuse me. But it's a good story, good paranormal story.
And the interesting thing is that they have had such good recorded evidence in that place.
Yes.
They certainly have. And every story that is behind that place, they have found evidence to collaborate with it. And
Yes.
And I find it to be fascinating as well. I mean, it's just such an open, it's like an open investigation. It doesn't even, there's no shyness about it. It is just, boom, it's there.
It's there. Like boom in your, like you said, boom in your face,
Yeah, it is not shy at all.
Mm-mm.
Tells me powerful, extraordinarily powerful.
Yep.
Very brazen and dangerous. That's a dangerous place.
Yep.
Still want to go.
Yeah, that's our nature. Sad to say, we are inquisitive creatures, you and I, and also other paranormal investigators out there. Curiosity kills the cats sometimes, and we just got to go. I mean, and that's why we have to be careful, because sometimes we can open ourselves up too easy and too much to where we can absorb some of the stuff every place we go. I mean, there's also attachments that can happen. All sorts of different things. That's why we have to be so protective of ourselves when we go to different places.
And what's was also interesting is that people know the story, like, the story that you just said, this is all true stuff. And
Yes,
what people don't realize is that, okay, well, that was the beginning, but negative energy attracts negative energy.
sure does.
And when you have all the components that we've talked about, that might be the way it started. But who knows what's in there at this point
Yes.
that, can't even be described. And while people are concentrating on all these well-known things going on, don't even realize that you are being stalked and attacked by something that you weren't even thinking, you had not a thought in your mind about. And it's just
Exactly.
those creepy little crawlies, boy, they can do just as much, if not more damage than the
Well, it's,
actual.
yeah, I know what you're talking about, but it's been my experience, Deb, and I think you know what I'm fixing to say. With the demonic possessions and things of that nature, I have witnessed a exorcism myself in my lifetime, and it's my experience that once a demon is cast from a person's body, it automatically goes and looks for another warm place to go, which
Absolutely.
is what? Which is human bodies. Or, back in the Bible, you'll read scripture about when Jesus cast the demons out of this man. They automatically went into the swine, the pigs that were there, and it drove the pigs so mad till they threw themselves off a cliff.
Right.
These things don't want to be roaming about in the world. They want to be in a warm, living body so they can possess it and do their bidding, make that person do their bidding. And that's ultimately what they wind up wanting them to do, is to do what they've been sent here to do. And I don't like dealing with demons. I have dealt with them before, and I've stood up to them and been toe to toe with them. But I'm telling you, that is a fight that if you are not prepared, not ready to do, you don't want to do,
Exactly.
because it's scary as all dickens, let me tell you.
Yeah, that it, and it's interesting that you say that too, because you can't really stress it upon people enough that, going, quote, ghost hunting, which I've never liked that terminology in the first. I'm not hunting,
Right.
ghost hunting, as they say. Is a far, far cry different from dealing with what you're talking about.
Yeah.
These are completely different things. If you want to get the excitement of going on an investigation and getting evidence and all, that's fascinating enough in itself, but trying to get involved with something deeper and darker and on a much different level than that is working with some kind of a demonic entity or something that you don't know about.
Yeah.
So many people get into so much trouble because they just blunder into something without realizing what it is. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Now we got something here that we can't. We're in trouble.
Well,
We're
you
in
have
trouble.
to be careful what you wish for. And
Oh.
if you're just wishing you could do this and you want to go on an investigation and you get the chance to possibly go, you better know your P's and Q's, and you better dot your I's and cross your T's, because it's not a playground. It's not
No,
a
it's
play.
not. And don't.
Not for us anyway. It may be for the spirits, but not for us as human beings and as paranormal investigators. It's not a playground.
No, it isn't. And you know, don't think that people can just pull you out of trouble. It's like, oh man, you know, it's going to take a lot more than just, oh, come over here and let me. No. You know, sometimes you can get yourself into a whole world of trouble that is going to be a little bit more difficult to get rid of than you think that it is.
Right.
Bottom line is, guys, be careful out there what you're doing. You know, don't go playing around with something that is way out of your territory, because I'd really hate for you to be regretting it deeply. And yes, you would be regretting it deeply in the end there. Don't go there.
And don't do like I had one lady to contact my team, Shadow Chasers, before. I still, this woman just, she still blows my mind to this day. She contacted me to allow her little daughter, I think she was about
15, right?
somewhere around in there, yeah.
14.
Wanted what, 14 or 15. She was real young. And one thing, guys, that my team doesn't do, I mean, there's teams out there that allow the younger ones to go, that are under the age of 18, and God bless you. If you're comfortable with that, more power to you. But my feelings on that is, if you're under the age of 18 and you don't have the adult mentality to be able to handle what you will be walking into, then you don't get to go.
No.
Because I know that children are very
Vulnerable.
susceptible. They are a bright light as far as the spirits are concerned, and spirits are drawn to their light, their energy. So I do not allow anyone under the age of 18. And I think, if I remember correctly, the last time I had to deal with something like that, I raised the age to 21. But this one woman had this young daughter, 14, 15 years of age, plus her little lover girlfriend, that she wanted me to take both of these children on an investigation
Right.
with me. And of course, I asked all the pertinent questions. And first of all, how old were they? And that was an automatic no for me right there. But I did the criteria thing that I had when I talk to people when they want to let their children or friends or family or whatever go on an investigation. So I'm sitting there writing no with every question, that I asked. And at the end of the conversation, she asked me, would I allow them to go? And I'm like, no, ma'am, not under any certain circumstance would I allow your daughter and her girlfriend to go.
Right.
And this woman wanted to know why. So I proceeded to tell her, that teenagers, especially girls, here we go with the whole poltergeist thing, that young females can do this because of their high levels of energy, brain activity and all this other kind of stuff, that they can move things with their mind if they, get to that point. And she got piping mad at me, called me everything in the book, told me that my team was, sorry and blah, 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 and all this other kind of crap. And she just went to running our names around town here because I would not allow her little girl and her girl's girlfriend to go. First and foremost, on anything, any investigation that my team ever goes on, number one rule is the safety of everyone that is on the team and anyone that we allow to go with us.
Correct.
Second rule is you never go alone. I never send my team or you, whenever you're taking over for me, Debbie, you never let anyone go into any room alone.
No.
Because why? You're more susceptible to the spirits and to the entities that are in the building, when you are alone. They can get to you a lot easier that way. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, like I said, these teams out there that allow the younger ones to go, that's fine. That's your team. And, you know, that's how you handle it is all your business, baby. But when it comes to shadow chasers and probably the way you feel too about hallowed grounds, Deb, we don't allow anyone under a certain age to go to any investigation.
Absolutely.
Now, in the past, we have. Before we actually found out and realized what was going on and with the younger children going, we had a young boy that went with us because his father was with us at the establishment where we were at. I allowed him to go, and this young boy was scratched. And I said right then and there, after that happened, I'm like, no more children under a certain age to go on any investigation that we conduct. Their safety is my number one priority. And so, in order to make them safe, I just don't allow them to go. So.
You know, sometimes you just got to take a hard line. And, you know, the way that I was kind of seeing it with that individual at the time, there's other teams. If they're willing to take your children with them, cool. You know, there's other teams out there that you can experience that with, but not this one, not with this particular team. We just, you know, different teams have their rules. This is our rule. And I'm not going to be responsible for a child's mental health or physical health because of putting them into an environment that was completely inappropriate for them.
Now, I have done some things with my grandchildren at my home, but I know that my grandchildren, there's several of them that are highly intuitive. They are empaths and psychics, just like I am. And I felt that they were okay with it. And I mean, I gave my grandchildren my equipment. And I'm telling you, these little guys and girls, they took that equipment and they ran it just as fantastic as an adult would. I mean, they took the whole investigation actually over. And I'm sitting there with my mouth wide open, and they knew exactly what to say, what to ask, how to do. And I mean, they got some pretty good hits at my old house that I used to live in. And I was really proud of them little boogers, but I only did that one time just to test them to see how intuitive they were. And they really shocked me and surprised me.
But they're around you all the time.
Yes, and they know Mamaw's job and they know what Mamaw does. And I'm telling you, they're so inquisitive about the paranormal field. And I've done wheeled all of my equipment to my two grandsons. Well, I've got three, but AJ, I don't know where AJ's head is because he's so little, but my two oldest grandsons, they want all of my equipment whenever I'm gone. So they've done laid claim to all of grandma's equipment. But these are, and to come back to the Paracomicon, Teresa was saying last week that there will be a class for gifted children and how to handle them.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes, because let me tell you something, guys. If you've never been around a gifted child that has this ability that can sit there, and if I'm not mistaken, I think in one of Leetriana's books, she was talking about her son is a gifted. Well, he's not a child anymore. He's grown up, but he was a gifted child coming up, and he knew dates, and he could tell her things about when he was in the war and where he was shot and all this other kind of stuff. These children are so, some of them have lived past lives and they have remembrances of it, just like Leetriana's son did. Like my grandchildren, they will look at me and say, Mamaw, such and such such and such, and we don't need to do this, or we don't need to go here. These children are so gifted till it just blows your mind. It really does. But they will have a class there at the Paracomicon that will teach parents, grandparents, whomever, how to deal with gifted children.
That's totally amazing. I mean, I
Yeah.
would go in there and just sit there and just listen to it.
Oh, yeah,
Because
definitely.
you know, we do deal with children ourselves. Some of the places that we go to do involve the children,
Yeah.
and it would be nice to have a heads up on what we could encounter with some of the children that we come across. Because 9 out of 10 times when we come across a child that's experiencing this stuff, it's because they have an ability
Yes.
to feel, to hear, to see. They
And
have that
these are
one.
not abilities that just happen, okay? I don't believe that for New York second. These are gifts and abilities that they were given at the time that they were conceived, okay? Not at the time that they were born, but at the time that they were conceived and being formed in their mother's tummy, okay? Because I believe that God gives each and every one of us gifts at the time of conception. Because the Bible will say, and it does say, that He knows us by name before conception. So stop and think about that. If you believe in God, which I'm hoping that all of my listeners do, and if you don't, that's okay too, because that's your prerogative and your choice. But whomever you believe in, more power to you, and God bless you for it. But you have to believe in something. But me personally, I believe what the Bible says and what God's word says, that we each were known by name before conception. And He gives each and every single one of us gifts that we are born with. And it is up to us as we grow down through life and age, if we are able to make it to an older age, that it is up to us to find out what our gifts are and apply them to our lives, or we can choose to ignore them. So that's just me and mine. Just like the pre-commercial says, that the choices and opinions of Spooky Things is not necessarily that of the producer or web radio or anybody else out there. This is just simply my perception of how I feel about things.
That's a very good one.
I'm telling you, people, there's more to the world, more to the universe, more to everything out there than what you perceive on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to be inquisitive enough to want to experience these things, research them, learn about them, and just open up your mind to them if that's what you want. And I'm a Scorpio, born in November. Scorpios are curious, peculiar creatures. And that's me. I am very curious and I am very peculiar. I've been told that I'm a freak by nature, and that's okay, because you know what? I would rather be a freak than to be a boring, dull person. Okay? If, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So I freely and proudly wave the freak flag, because on a daily basis I'm learning different things about the universe, about the world, about spirit world, about the other legendary phenomenons that are out there, like aliens, Bigfoot, all of the above, everything that Spooky Things is about. And we've been told, that, well, your show is not spooky enough. Well, if you stop and think about it, yeah, it is, because we talk about a lot of things that people don't want to talk about. We bring to the forefront things that you probably have seen on TV and heard other researchers and stuff talk about, but yet you don't want to talk about it in your own daily life because why? Number one, you may fear them. Number two, you may think that other people might think that you're losing your marbles and sort of going off the deep end. But God, I want to know. I want to
Right.
know about all of this stuff. I mean, if it's there, I want to know. I don't want to be left in the dark. You know, that's why I like to dive off into the deep end of the pool every now and then. I don't want to stay in the shallow part of the pool because that's where shallow minds stay. I want to go in the deep end and dig a little bit deeper and find out stuff.
I agree. I agree. I mean, there is a morbid curiosity, so to speak,
Yeah,
but
it is kind of morbid.
it is morbid, but it's curiosity nonetheless.
Yeah.
You don't know an answer until you ask the question. And I'm forever questioning things.
Me too. Me too.
Forever.
Yep.
And a lot of times you and I will go into a place and we'll just look at each other and it'll be like, what? And we're both thinking the same thing.
Same thing. It's like you read my mind and I read your mind. And you know, and I love investigating with you because we think like that and we're always on the same page with each other. And you add to the investigation things that I can't, and then I add things to the investigation that you can't. And
Absolutely.
it's like that too, whenever we're doing readings on people, when you and I start getting things. When you start, if you start first, then I will sit there and I will politely listen to you and tune in to you. And then when you have hit a brick wall, then that's where I pick up and say, okay, well, I've perceived this, you know, and da 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 da. And never have you and I not ever been spot on. I mean, it's crazy. It's the energy between you and I, and that passes between us that we're able to pick up on different things, but yet it all comes into one. You know what I mean?
And it never ceases to amaze me.
Nope, me neither.
I mean, I just know so many times that, you know, at the end of the night, we're both, because I mean, doing things like that is very mentally draining. I don't think
Yeah.
people understand how terribly mentally draining that it is.
It is.
And you and I are just sitting there, just like, blah, we are like spent.
Yeah.
And then, but yet on the other hand, we are just both so blown away by how magical it was at the
Yeah.
same time. And it is such a fulfilling feeling that you have given somebody something that they really needed to feel, that they really needed to hear, that they couldn't have gotten anywhere else.
Yeah.
When you're able to supply that for somebody, just to calm. To calm the mind, to calm to calm that spirit that they have. There's nothing more wonderful
Yep.
than being able to help somebody like that.
There's a satisfaction that comes at the end of readings like that, that you have been able to help people and
Yes.
to give them answers to questions that they've had, or be able to connect them to their loved ones and let them hear verbal communication back to them. But it's also so draining, so mentally and physically draining, till it's takes me days, literally days, to recuperate from a big audience like we
Exactly.
had at the Hotel de Finiac that night.
Yeah, we were woo.
Girl.
I mean, wonderful as it was just hard,
Yes,
very hard. I
definitely.
think it took the both of us about 2 weeks to come out of that one.
Yep, it did.
Yeah, it took a while, but completely worth every second.
Yes, it was. Do you remember how many of the how many teens was that that went that come through the side door of the lobby, went upstairs while we had one of the tours going on upstairs, but then they came back down, and then they You remember what I said to you whenever they went past us and then they come back down and then they asked us, was that where the tour was to begin? And we told them, well, we were actually finished, that was the last tour that was upstairs, but if they wanted to, they could come and sit down and speak with us. And that's when we started getting things on these kids left and right. One was into some things that he shouldn't have been into. We counseled him on that, and he was totally shocked and taken back whenever we named the things that he was doing. He asked us how we knew that, and we told him that that's what we did, that spirit was telling you and telling me. And we read each one of them. I think there was five of them, if I remember correctly. We read each single one of them and what they were doing and all of the aspects of their life and who they needed to contact as far as their loved ones being over in the spirit world. I mean, I sat there and was literally in awe of everything that was taking place right there in front of me. Even though I know it's you and I, and I know that we are getting things from the spirit world that we are giving to people as they need it, it still has a wonderment and an amazement that spirit is that strong where they can tell us what we shouldn't know. And we can tell people things that are going on in their lives or that have taken place in their lives. And with me and you too, sometimes we get the precognition of what's to happen in the future and we try to warn them. It's truly a gift. And it's one I'm sad to say it's one that in the years past, I was completely and totally freaked out about it and scared about it and stuff, and I denied it for a very long time. But then I had a come to Jesus meeting with God and told him, look, if this is what I'm supposed to do for you to help people by telling them things like I do, then so be it. So when I came to terms with everything just started flying, just taking off, and here I am today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is such a fulfilling feeling to be able to help somebody that is just so emotionally distressed. And to be able to go in there and pull that emotion out and explain to them what would be a good way for them to help to deal with that. And the look of relief on their faces is just when they realize that they can control, it gives them a new empowerment about themselves. And people are successful people. And
And you wouldn't believe the people, the kids, the teenagers that I was talking about, and then older people too, that will text me from time to time or either call me from time to time and just check in with me and then still tell me, thank you so much. Thank you and Debbie so much for helping us like you did. I mean, that's the prideful moments where you feel like, okay, I've done my job. I did what Creator wanted me to do, and I've helped these people. And it makes you feel good.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Sure does.
Sure does.
I know of a lot of the things that I feel like in my life that I might have failed at. When I succeed in helping these people through that, it gives me such a feeling of, well, I know I did. I know I've helped. I know I did good here. And it is such a fulfilling feeling. It really is. It's like, well, there's one thing I can do. That is it.
Well, we all make mistakes and we're none of us are perfect. There was only one that was perfect, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I definitely don't compare myself to him and never will, because he was just a perfect person. And he knows that we fall short of the glory of God every single day and we make mistakes. But the one thing that we need to do to make amends for that is to ask him for forgiveness. When we know that we've made a mistake and there was nothing that we could do about it at the time, then before we close our eyes at night, say, Lord, forgive me for any mistakes or anything that I might have said during the day that might have hurt someone or caused a downfall of someone or anything like that. Just ask him to forgive you. And
Right.
that's all he expects from us, Deb.
Yep.
So just try to be the best person that you guys can be. You're listening to us out there, and that's all that Debbie and I try to do each day. We try to be the best person that we can be, and we fail at it sometimes. I'm not joking. We do, because we're human and we
Absolutely.
fail at it. And sometimes I feel like such a loser, you know, because I feel like, well, I could have handled something this way, or I could have done this that way. That's us being prejudgmental on ourselves, and we need to stop that. We need to learn to love ourselves and correct ourselves when we can. And when we can't and we fall short of our goals that God has set for us, then just ask for forgiveness, people. Ask for forgiveness. That's all you got to do.
That's exactly right.
Well,
So,
have you got anything else as far as the Bob Mackie, history goes, and the paranormal case of Bob Mackie's Music World?
no, I hope they find the head one day. It really
Oh
bothers
my
me
God.
that the head's out there.
Oh, I
It'd be
don't
nice
know.
to head.
Well, you know, I don't even know if they found it today. Back in that time, there was no forensic medicine. You couldn't. They had no dental records of that case and no DNA and stuff like that. So how would they, if they found their head, how would they prove that it was pearls?
Oh, it's they couldn't.
Yeah,
Not
that's
that.
what I was thinking, that they possibly couldn't. So
No, not then.
it's just one of those strange things that has a history that happened back years ago, and it may never be found. And you know what? If it's never found, then guess what? It was never meant to be found. I feel bad for her, and I hope that her soul's not wandering the face of the earth looking for her head, you know. But I hate that it happened to her. I really do. I mean, I'm finding out that the worst. We can talk about Bigfoot, aliens, Loch Ness Monster, whatever. But I'm finding out that the worst monster on the face of this earth is humans.
Oh, without a doubt.
We're wicked. We are a wicked race. Some of us go about killing innocent people, killing children, kidnapping them, doing all kinds of things to them, selling women and children into sex slavery, causing war against, you know, the countries warring against each other. A million other things that my mind won't let me say right now because of, you know, I just can't fathom all of it. But we're wicked, and we need to change our ways, and love each other regardless of our color, our race, our creed. And just stop and realize that we are all God's people. And Lord help, the world would be a better place if we did.
Sure would.
But as long as the devil is about his job, we'll never be able to be at peace with each other, because that's his job, is for him to stir up crap and cause the world to be at war and at odds with each other. So one day, he's going to get his butt tore up, and the good Lord's going to give it to him. So,
Yeah. Well, on that note, It's been a wonderful, wonderful evening, an
It
very
has.
interesting subject. I think a lot of information came out. If anybody out there wants to add to this or ask questions about it, whatever, contact us. And we'll see if we can come up with any answers for you. We've got answers ourselves on Bob Mackey's. I mean, it's an absolutely phenomenal place.
Yes.
But yeah, I would love to get out there one day and check it out for ourselves. But
Yep, maybe it's a bucket list for us, so maybe we'll get that chance.
So now we're going to be on our way next Tuesday. We'll be back 7 o'clock, and we'll have another very interesting subject for you.
Yep, and we are still working on, we have gotten no word back, but we did announce here a few weeks back that we had a very dark episode of the podcast show, the radio show, that could possibly be taking place. We have not heard anything back from that yet, but we are still pursuing it. So, and when that does happen, we'll give you a warning, you know, to let you know, okay, this is going to be a very deep, intense show. And if you do not want to listen to it, please don't. But
exactly.
You know, people have said that you're not spooky enough. Let me tell you guys, we're diving deep on this one. Deep,
Yeah.
deep, deep into deep, dark waters, and it will scare the H-E double hockey sticks out of you if you listen to that podcast when we are able to do it. So just a pre-warning on that, and please don't forget, here we go again, and I'm going to keep saying it until the event comes and is past. Don't forget the Deep South Pier Comic Con on August the 19th and the 20th in Ozark, Alabama. You do not want to miss it.
Absolutely not.
Okay,
Well,
Deb. Well, good night, my sister, and good night to all of our listeners out there. Good night, Stan and Teresa, Mama Bear and Papa Bear, as I've nicknamed them. Because I tell you, they take care of everything behind the scenes. They're just two amazing, beautiful individuals that we call paranormal family, and we have been so blessed to have in our lives. And we are blessed to have you listeners out there too. So thank y'all for your time, and we'll be seeing you and talking to you next Tuesday night.
Bye.